Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, Book of Genesis, Chapter 5. We noticed that we had Cain's genealogy in Chapter 4. We've got Adam's genealogy in Chapter 5. We note that Cain is not in Adam's genealogy. So what does that mean? I think everybody should know what that means. God's not forgetful, and he didn't leave Cain out. It simply means that Adam was not Cain's father. Cain's father took place in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and so it was. But meanwhile, it continues on in the genealogy of Adam, Eth-ha-Adam, that lineage through which Christ would come. And we came to Enoch, who was a preacher, a prophet, and he walked with God. We're going to pick it up there in verse 24 with a word of wisdom from our Father. Chapter 5, verse 24, I'm going to reread it again, and then we're going to go on a little trip. Let's check out Enoch in the New Testament. So here we go. Chapter 5, verse 24, the great book of Genesis, and it reads, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Well, what happened there? Well, he was, he walked with God means he had plenty of faith. He walked with God. We're going to go to the Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. I want to pick it up with verse 5. Listen to it carefully. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." He worked for God. He worked with God. I'm going to read the next verse. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That means sincerely. Now, also, in the great book of Jude, it speaks of Enoch, of this translation. What did Enoch do that caused God to have this attention in him? So the book of Jude, verse 14, listen to it. You will have it there on the screen, Jude 14. And it reads, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied." He did what? He prophesied. He preached. He taught of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints," if he chooses to, verse 15, "to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." What's he talking about? What was he preaching? About Cain, the hybrid that was loose and was had murdered an innocent one, and then had continued on being allowed to deceive those that could be deceived. And it would seem that he was quite successful in doing this. Now let's return, if we may, back to the great book of Genesis here. We'll pick it up with the next verse, 25. "And Enoch walked with God," and "Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech." Now you notice a lot of these are the same names in Cain's genealogy, but certainly different. Why? God wants you to see the difference regardless of the name spiritually. Verse 26, "And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters." 27, you know how old he was? "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." That was the oldest man there ever was, Methuselah. That's why we have the old saying, "as old as Methuselah." But as an example, here you have Methuselah, but in Cain's genealogy, you have Methusael. El instead of Yah in the very name itself. Therefore, you see the difference. 28, to continue. And Lamech, which means powerful, lived in 182 years and begat a son. And here we go. What son would that be? 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Noah, of course, means rest. And he would have been the tenth in the lineage. And it is from Noah that we find a perfect generation. As we come into chapter 6, we'll discuss that much further. Verse 30. And Lamech lived, after he begat Noah, 595 years and begat sons and daughters. 31. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And so it was. 32 to complete the chapter. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, there's kind of an acrostic here in giving these names because they're not in order. In other words, Seth being first was the youngest. Japheth was the oldest. And Ham, the center one. But they're reversed because, for a reason which we will understand as we go along in this great work. Father wants you to pay attention to that. By the time we get through the ninth chapter, it will all fall in place. But here we have Noah, and we will see some of the preaching that Enoch was preaching and practicing, that God would actually translate him, transfigure him, literally. And one of the three, I feel, most people say two, there were three. I feel that certainly Moses was, God would not let man bury Moses. There was a reason for that. But anyway, chapter 6, verse 1, let's go with it. Listen carefully. And it came to pass when men, and this is Ha-Adam, this is, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. This is the man through which Christ would come, Ha-Adam. It is important, if you want to check that out in the manuscripts, you with companion Bibles, it'll back it up for you, is it has the article. And certainly it does mean the man, Adam, through which Christ would come. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, who are these sons of God? Who are these sons of God we see here? And again, what would it be that Jude would be preaching about them? Jude told us about them. All you have to do is read his word, and certainly you find out. Let's go to Jude verse 6, and there you'll find out. Jude verse 6. And the angels, the sons of God, the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, left where they're supposed to be. He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. In other words, they were not worthy. They left their place of habitation. They came, and rather than being born of woman, they seduced her. They did? Well, where does it say that? Well, let's return to the great book of Genesis again here. And what do we have in picking it up with verse 3? What does verse 3 say? Listen carefully. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And this is also Ha'adam, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. It had disappointed. He created man in the image of the spiritual body, but created him in flesh. And it would seem that it sure brought forth sin. Verse 4, listen carefully. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, those angels, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children. They did what? They bare, well, what caused that? Well, I don't think I have to tell you. They bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, Gibor. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you a little Hebrew lesson here on this word Gibor, as it is used here in the Hebrew. Let's call it up on the screen, if we may. It is Nephil. And it comes from Nephilim, which is, it come, and properly a feller, a bully, a tribe, but it comes from 5307. Let's call up 5307 here. 5307, Nafal. Which, what is it? It's a primitive root to fall in a great variety of applications. And so it is, it means fallen angels. That's what it means. It means these were fallen angels, these Nephilim. And they left their first place of habitation. What? It was Satan's trick to destroy the woman. And you know what? He had it almost accomplished. Because as you're going to find out in this self-same chapter, there was only one family that still had a clean pedigree, meaning had not intermixed to where there was a bunch of hybrids. This is why our father is so upset here. He is disgusted that he had made man in the flesh, and flesh could be deceived by Satan and his fallen ones so easily. And so it is. Let's pick it up again with verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so it is in the flesh. That's as it is. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and out of earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Why? Because of the sin, because of what was happening. He had planned on bringing forth a Savior through the womb of this woman, Eve's offspring. And here Eve's offspring are being seduced by these fallen angels. They're not innocent. These fallen angels know what happened before, for they are from before. It upsets God's whole plan. Don't worry, he'll put a stop to it. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. I mean, he was receiving no pleasure from them. It was in mass. They were intermixing with these Nephilim, these fallen ones. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? He was doing what was right. He would not mix with any of these hybrids, nor the Nephilim, or have anything, his whole family, not to have anything to do with them. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Meaning, Noah perfectly followed God's plan. Meaning, he picked a wife that was not a hybrid. He produced his sons and made sure their wives were not hybrids from these Nephilim. When it says he had a perfect generation, the word, if you take it to the prime, it was a perfect pedigree. In other words, they were fit and just, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, to bring forth the Savior. If God finds one perfect being, one person by grace that is trying, it gets his attention. It pleases him. That's why you want to really be pleasing to God with authority and discipline. Follow him. Stand your ground. But always have that grace open. But never let Satan knock on your door. Send him away. But perfect generation is an important thing. There's nothing racial about that. It was simply Satan trying his little tricks. It had worked quite well. Had worked really quite well, that Satan trying to destroy the seed of the woman, because he knew the prophecy already out of God's mouth that the woman's seed would bruise his head, kill him. So you might check out in the Hebrew manuscripts the word perfect, but most of all you need to check out the word generations. Whereby you know and understand my description of this is exact. Okay. Verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, again, they're not in order for a reason. The younger, naturally the older, should be first. That would be first fruits. But Shem is the one who will receive the first fruits for a reason. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's what Satan will do if you give him an opportunity. You might look around you today, you're a watchman. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All these hybrids gone away from that is natural. Anytime you leave that is natural in the eyes of God, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will destroy them, properly translated, from the earth. 14, he gives Noah instructions, this one that had the perfect generation, set of generations, had not mixed with the fallen angels. 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, there's an interesting thing in this, and I want you to catch it. The word pitch here is to coat. In the Hebrew, it means kaphar. It's the only word ever used for atonement. So you want to take your little Christian boat and patch it well, clink it, fill those clinks where there's no holes, no gaps, where it will sink. You let that atonement come over you. That's at one-ment with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will always sail, because there is a flood coming again in the end times. 5 months it shall be, from May through September, the time of the locust, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9. And a flood of Satan's lies will come over. There's only one pitch that you can use, atonement, that separates you and puts the seal of God in your forehead, where you're not a part of that. Verse 15 to continue. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A cubic is about 18 and a half inches, so you can see this is quite a large vessel. Three-story it is, even. 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. You're going to have doors to each level, naturally above the water line. Is it not strange that we have three earth ages and God brings many things forward? Verse 17, and behold, I, this is emphatic, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything, all these hybrids are going to be done away with. I'm through with it. Don't thank God when he's ready to make changes, he makes them. Verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. They all had perfect pedigrees. None of them had intermixed. And they were all of Eth-Ha-Adam. They were all Adamic. Eth-Ha-Adam, the Adam man. And from his genealogy, without any hybrid blood contained therein. And so it is. Verse 19 to continue. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Now, let's see. What does that mean, two of every flesh? Well, he had made man flesh. He had created all the races on the sixth day. They were flesh. So naturally, two of every race, male and female, would be brought aboard the ark. But there would still only be eight Adamic souls, Eth-Ha-Adam. That is to say, the blessed through which Christ would come. And speaking of this flood of the end times, you know, it is taught all through the New Testament, if you're sharp enough to catch it. Many people misread 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, when Paul is saying to the woman, you need to keep your head covered. And she meant, he meant, you better, not your hair, but you better have Christ over your head. You better be under that at-one-ment, atonement. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 11, why? Because of the angels. Well, what angels is that? The fallen angels, of course. Why? Because Christ taught in Matthew 24, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. In Matthew 24, they're going to be giving and taking in marriage again. Why? Because Satan and those same fallen angels are going to be taken from prison and cast out onto this earth to see if you've done your homework. They're coming back. And that is what the flood of the end times is all about. That's what Enoch was preaching. That's what Enoch was prophesying. That is the message that we teach. That the deceiver is coming. The false ones are coming. You do not want to participate in any of their actions. And you must make that stand that the Holy Spirit can use you to stand against that ilk. For once again will it come upon this earth. And quite frankly, you know, what will be the message of these evil ones? If they come to fly us away, it's not biblical. But that's what their message will be. Get on board. Well, can you document that? Sure. That's why God said in Ezekiel 13, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He knows what Satan's message is. Knew it from the beginning, coming out the gate. So there is a time, and as it's written in Matthew 24 and other places, those angels are coming back. They're going to be cast out. Well, where would it say that exactly? Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Michael and his angels will cast out Satan and his angels. That's the Nephilim, the fallen ones. They are coming. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. So you see, Noah's flood and that ark is symbolic of the ark of the end times. And that atonement You'd better have it patched well to see that your faith does not leak away whenever it is tried by Satan. So two of every flesh, you must say, this is God's word. Do you believe that, or do you want to believe traditions of men? That's up to you. God's word says two of every flesh was taken aboard the ark. Man was flesh. That means two of each of the races were there. And so it is. So let's continue with the next verse, verse 20. Of fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And so it is. This was the to preserve life that God had created. There would be clean animals plus brought aboard, which would be, as we'll find in as we continue on in Genesis, for food purposes. That would fall under that category. Verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and this would be considered animal food, so forth. And thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. This did Noah, verse 22, this did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He was obedient. God found this one person. God found this one man that he could count on. And that one man that had a perfect pedigree. Why? He walked with God. That means he did everything disciplined the way God would have it. That's why you want to pay attention not to men's words, not to the traditions of men that make void the word of God. Well, what, brother, just what traditions are you talking about? Well, how silly would I be if I were to start now after you've studied these first six chapters in depth? If I were to tell you, teach all your little children Eve ate an apple and there was a snake in the tree. Draw a picture of the snake and let him coil around the little tree and let Eve take that apple. You see, that's a lie coming out the gate, because God said you could eat apples from the apple tree, because he said you could partake of all the etz. That's a Hebrew word meaning fruit trees. Not only apples, but plums and oranges, anything. It's fine to partake of it. It's no sin. So why would you teach little children it's a sin to eat an apple? Because that sets automatic confusion. You would be surprised when you teach God's word how many people, when I say the word apple is not even in the manuscripts, they'll say, oh, yes, it is. I will prove you wrong. And they'll run and they'll go to Eve's little story and boom, they find it's not there. Well, wonder why? Because you were lied to. That's why. It's not nice to deceive people with men's traditions that make void the word of God. Well, brother, I don't think they would allow in my church that to be taught down, that Satan beguiled Eve in that way, and these Nephilim fell from the sky, were cast out, and they seduced women, and children were born of it. I don't know if our church would let us teach that. Then what are you doing in it? If you can't teach God's word there, and I'm not knocking churches, that's fine. That's where you want to go. But why would you want to go where God's word couldn't be taught? Because he is our Father. He's the nearest relative we have. It is his word we're supposed to follow. And we're certainly not too nice for God's word if you want his blessings. That's why Enoch was blessed. He taught it is wrong to participate with the hybrids. It is wrong to intermix with Cain, the Kenites. You need to be aware of the enemy. And you must keep the enemy in his place, and you must stay in your place, kind after kind. That is God's way. And if you want God's blessings, you had better thee well teach God's word as it is written. You had better have the kaphar, that's the atonement, in these end times especially, on your very life. That's the atonement with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he died on that cross to give us eternal life if we so chose, praying and paving the way intuitively that you could have eternal salvation for having believed and following him and having faith. Again, I want to go back to the word faith. Faith in the scripture. Faith in the word of God. Faith to know it is true. And the faith to teach it, share it, communicate with it, whereby people are not confused in these end times especially. Because if you do not have the beginning correct, you are never going to understand the end. There is no way you could ever understand 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, when Paul said, a woman should keep her head covered because of the angels. You're not going to know what that meant. Paul knew. Why? Because he knew what the first six chapters of Genesis meant. And that's why it's so ever important not to play games or church with God's word, but to teach God's word as Enoch taught it, as Noah taught it, and walk with God in faith and be blessed from the living God. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strong's Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We do not judge people. Father is judge, and that's why he sent us this letter, whereby we could spiritually discern the enemy, the friend, and Almighty God, whereby we could know and understand. Always thank him for that. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will be happy to give you our mailing address, okay? And got a prayer request? You don't need the number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. But he wants that love returned. Do you know something? You know why you can guarantee he loved? He made you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. You're unique because God wanted somebody just like you for his pleasure. But to pleasure him, you've got to have that faith and that knowledge and wisdom to stay in Father's word. Let's go to his throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Larry from... Where is Larry from? Let's see. Doesn't say. Okay. Larry's question is, in Matthew 3:10, what do the trees represent? Please explain. What it means is a tree that doesn't produce fruit, the axe is going to be put to it. Why? Well, what good is it? If a person doesn't love the Father, if a person doesn't... ultimately come to giving God some pleasure, while let him cumbereth the earth. In other words, it has to do with the final judgment. The axe goes to it. It's better, much better to please God. Fanny from Georgia, good to have you with us. What I want to know is can I anoint myself with olive oil? And yes, of course you can, in Christ's name, and your house also, if you so choose. James chapter 5 lets us know that you can, if you're ill, you call the elders. Well, you are an elder in God's house. You can anoint yourself in your house, no problem. Sherry from Tennessee. My name is Sherry. I live in Tennessee with my husband, Truman. And I'm glad you all enjoy watching the program. We ordered the rapture plot from you, and I gave it to my mother, who believes she is going up in the rapture. I went to church with her this past Sunday evening, and it came up. I was told that the word Bible isn't in the Bible. Well, probably because you told them the word rapture isn't. But they show their ignorance when they say that. The word book, which is used hundreds, many, many times, is bibelos. Babylon and bibelos, two different words, but it all means Bible. It's written many times in the manuscripts, but it's translated book. So you see, there you could really go into much more depth, but they wouldn't understand. It all comes from the word papyrus, which is the bark off of a certain tree that was used by scholars, by scribes. Bibulus and the little book, that's biblo and biblet. It's many times it's mentioned in the manuscripts. It's obvious that church does not read the manuscripts, so you probably couldn't help them anyway, be that as it may. Julia from Indiana, thank you for your welcome. Thank you for bringing the word alive. I am 94, and I'm trying to study Genesis. Well, you're in time. We're going through it, all right? Does God's covenant under Abraham include his children with Keturah? When I was younger, I studied with Dr. McGee and was thankful for him. I am thankful for your teaching today. I knew Dr. McGee. He was a good man, a good teacher. I met my wife, Anna. She was going to his university, his Bible college in Los Angeles, when I met her. But Dr. McGee was a fantastic teacher. He did not go to the depth in the manuscripts, but he did teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Fantastic teacher. The last time I saw Dr. McGee, he came to a particular church here in Gravett, Arkansas. And not too long before his passing, it was good to see him again. Anyway, thank you for mentioning that. The covenant included the children of Keturah, because Moses married one of the daughters of one of the sons of Keturah, Abraham's second wife. That is the way you unlock her genealogy, to see that the line was continued cleanly. Naomi from Arkansas, what is the first tribulation and the second? Well, there are two tribulations. Thank you for noting that. The first tribulation, of course, is, as it is written in Mark 13, is the coming of the false Christ. And it's trouble like not since the beginning of time. He really stirs stuff up. Why? People are going to think he's Christ. Do you know why? They have not studied his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. They're going to truly, because of his supernatural ability, as many times as God warns us that he comes at the sixth trump, and the true Christ doesn't come until the seventh, they're going to still be deceived. So the second tribulation, of course, is that of God. We don't have to worry about that. Why? God's not angry at us. He loves us and he protects us. Chuck from Nebraska, according to God's word, during the latter days in Daniel, Satan will come in peacefully and with flatteries. In Revelation, Satan will deceive the whole world that he is Christ, deceiving hearts and minds that will even be celebrating when the two witnesses lay dead. But in Ezekiel, there is a military army, Russia and others, coming from the north against the house of Israel, the United States, and other Christian nations. My question is this. If the whole world is one at that time and fooled with false peace, flatteries, and celebration, then for what reason will this military army have to come against the Christian nations? Well, it's really quite simple. You know, Satan's going to shake things up, but God's elect that are delivered up and the Holy Spirit speaks through them, they're going to tear stuff from one end to the other. They're going to turn Satan's little world upside down. And people are going to begin to see the truth. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through them, as it is written in Mark 13. And at that time, Satan will have no choice other than to try to destroy God's elect, wherever they are, and naturally they're in those particular nations you forementioned, the Christian nations. It's going to be an interesting time. It means we shake, with God's help, we shake things up real good. And Becca from Washington, Pastor Murray, I'm 14 years old. I've been studying the Word for 5 years, and you're an old-timer at it. Great. And I think your program is very good, and I like the way you preach. Thank you. Could you please explain how, if the earth is already a million years old, since our Father's Word says that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years to Him, did it take 7,000 years to create what He created in the beginning? Thank you for your program. It has helped me a lot. Also, being a blessing for my family. Well, thank you, Becca. It's good to have you. Your question is good to have you with us. Remember, it took 7 days to the. It didn't say how long it took him in the beginning. It simply says in the beginning he created it, and then he destroyed it. And then it did take those 7 days to reinstitute it, as it is written in Genesis in the beginning. But that was in the beginning of this earth age, which was about, if you were to begin at the very beginning, 7,000 plus it's been 6,000 since then. And you're a real good student. Thank you for writing. Lynn from Florida, since Cain was the offspring of Satan, he had hybrids all over the earth. When did Cain die? And was the flood the reason of Cain's death? I suppose there was one among Noah on the ark, two of every flesh, yeah. But Cain died many years before Noah's flood, okay? But his offspring were there, and they are to this day. Biblically speaking, it's easy to document that. To show you how shrewd and subtle they are. In 1 Chronicles, in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 55, you will find they were already keeping books for Judah. Think about that. The Kenites had worked themselves in and were keeping records, keeping the records for Judah, way back in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. That's why, as a scholar, you want to always be careful of translations, because many things have been changed, and if you're sharp enough, you can always spot their little maneuvering in the manuscripts. You can always spot it. They have a little mark, just like God placed on them, and they like to change things to suit themselves. And certainly in a lot of these later translations, they're working overtime. So this is why I really am almost against later translations. Because you should never study a work or a translation that is not done by a Christian. I know that may offend some people, but Christians have a different view. They view from the Word of God. And that makes a great example. You don't have to go very far till you take a non-Christian. It says right here that it says right there that Mary Magdalena was betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to a non-Christian, that means they were married. But to a Christian, we know that's not what it means. It means that spiritually she is betrothed, not physically. So that's why you want to be careful, because it really can mess things up to have a non-Christian translator. Sally from Nevada, I watch every day for about a year. My question is, what does it mean in the Bible when it refers to the bride of Christ? Does it mean just women? I don't understand this. It's a spiritual statement, a figure of speech. It means that all of God's children take part in that wedding, but it has nothing to do with sex or sexuality. It is all of God's children, His planting, are joined back to Him. But it's not like we would have a wedding here on earth, certainly. But it has both male and female to the Heavenly Father. Kim from Tennessee, please answer a query I have in Genesis 16:11-12. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard his affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. With the years and years of turmoil in the Middle East, and you got it, Ishmael was and Hagar was from the Arab nations. Arab meaning neither of the night nor neither of the day. And it means braided, too. The word in the Hebrew means braided. At dusk and near the end of the day, even, in that wilderness. Naturally, it is prophecy. It is there, and we'll be covering it in a few days as we get there. God's Word foretells us many things, and thank you for being sharp. You're on the ball. Patricia from Missouri. You're welcome. Thank you for studying with us in the ministry. I have a question concerning Jesus in Luke 4:22, when they said, Is this not Joseph's son? Didn't everyone know since the day he was born that he was Jesus Christ, even his mother who had given virgin birth? No, Joseph adopted Christ. Okay, Joseph accepted Christ, but he was not his physical son, but Joseph did adopt him, and he and Mary were together, and naturally to someone in the community that was a non-believer, it was Joseph's son. And that's why a prophet is without honor among his own people. He was among his own people where he grew up, and they knew him from that, and that's why they would say that. Bruce from Massachusetts, what is the purpose of the tribulation of the Antichrist? Thank you. To find out if you've done your homework. Okay. That's what the purpose of it is. God wrote a letter to his children telling them just exactly how things started out in the beginning and all the way through, and exactly how it was going to be at the end. That the false Christ was going to come back first. It's test time. Have you done your homework? Or can you be had? You see, we have an eternity coming up. We don't want any halfway people there. You either love your Father and overcome. We don't want any wicked people there. That's why they're not going to make it. And you know something? That is to say, if they don't change their way, and God bless, that's why I dedicated my life to teaching, is to bring as many as possible into the truth, to draw souls right out of the very fire. And so whereby they could be God's children. But at the same time, when the eternity comes, if they don't make the cut, If you love someone in your family and you wrote them a letter and they threw it away and would never read it, or put it on a shelf and would never read it, how would that affect you? You wouldn't be real happy about it, would you? Well, that's the same way. That's why he brings the tribulation of the Antichrist, to see if you've done your homework. If you have, it won't mean anything to you because you won't worship him and you got power over him. Janice from Mississippi, thank you so much for your tea. You are so welcome. My question is, if someone you love has passed on and you still talk out loud to them and you cry for them, do they know that? Do they hear you? My Aunt Sandy died 6 years ago, and I miss her so much. She was an angel in my life and still is an angel. Well, that's praise God. It does no harm, and certainly she is very alert and with the Father, and I'm sure that it is pleasing to her, okay, to know that you loved her in that way and still do. And we're going to all be back together again. It won't be all that long. Bo from Ohio. If God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9, then why did Jesus speak in parables concerning the mystery of the kingdom of God, so that seeing they may not perceive? Well, because there is an unpardonable sin. We have the millennium coming. There, you see, once you know that the false Christ comes first, and once you are selected as one of God's elect with full knowledge, if you refuse to allow, as it is written in Luke chapter, in the great book of Luke, where it is written, if you in chapter 12, verse 10, if you refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, that's an unpardonable sin. So therefore, he spoke in parables so someone that was not going to make the stand would still have an opportunity in the millennium to be taught. Because the unpardonable means exactly that. Only God's elect can commit that unpardonable sin, but they're not going to. Why? We know he's coming first, and we know we look forward to the opportunity to stand against him. And so it is. Patty from Michigan. On the six-day creation, were white people included, or were they all considered eighth-day ready-complected? Only eighth-day. No. There were all the races. You have Slavic and Caucasian. There had there are many different white races, as well as the Oriental, as well as the African. All the races, God created them, and they were good. The last verse of chapter 1 in Genesis, he looked and it was good. Julie from Oregon. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and God created the earth in 7 days. So does that mean it took 7,000 years? That's what a lot of people think. The little student that asked earlier, she had it all figured out, got it just right. Okay, Larry from Ohio. Once you're saved, can you lose your salvation? Your salvation is always there, but you can drift so far away from it, you can go to hell. You see, the reason you don't lose the salvation, Christ is the one that did the saving. But it must be maintained with repentance. Once you're saved, if you sin so many times without repentance, you're going to hell, most likely. Now, I'm not judging anyone, but that's just the way it is. You see, when you say the Savior failed, you're saying Christ failed. That's not a smart thing to do. That would be absolutely sacrilegious. He did his part, but you must maintain it with repentance and love and asking for forgiveness, and therefore renewing, rekindling the love, the understanding, and the following of him. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 makes that real plain for you, okay? Debbie from Kansas, in Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8, it states that Satan will be loosed out of his prison after the 1,000 years to deceive the nations to gather them to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Does this mean that some will not make it in the millennium and still side with Satan? Are we not in spiritual bodies? Yes, they're in spiritual bodies, but you got some clunkers out there. You got some people. I have difficulty understanding how someone could visibly see Christ and hear him and know he is true to his word, would still follow that knucklehead who is locked away and is released just a short season. And it lets you know how some people are. Biblically, they're not going to make it. And I guess we sure don't want them with us if they're that dumb to want to love Satan. Then let them have him in the lake of fire. We're out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it. You let our Father know that you love him in return. Won't you do that? It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always, I do mean always, bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in his word. He wrote you that letter. You stay in it. Every day in it is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word.